Welcome to Dollars and Cents, the show about growing, enjoying, and protecting your business.
It's better to be prepared for an opportunity and not have one than to have an opportunity and not be prepared.
Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
If you have a question for Terry, call now, 800-673-1728. You're listening to DSRadio.net. Here's your host, Terry Wilson.
And welcome back to another edition of Dollars and Cents. I hope you're having a good time out there in the entrepreneurial world that listens to this podcast. And if you're not an entrepreneur, let me encourage you that you don't have to jump in head first. If you got a job, my son, matter of fact, just a prime example. First job, 16-year-old kid, working fast food, and we could have put him in insurance, we could have put him in our lead generation business, we could have done all kinds of things, but I really feel as a father, you know, he needs to understand the value of a dollar, and the best way to do that is just to slave over it. You know, that might sound cruel, but it's just a parental decision we made. And he's already asking me, is there ways that I can earn extra income because I can only go so far here because of my inexperience, because of where I'm at, yada, yada, yada. The reasons why, it is what it is on his income. And he's just purchased a car, which is what I want to get into today, a horrible experience we had at buying a car over this weekend, trying to get a car for him. And so I said, the thing about starting a business, starting your own entrepreneurial idea, is you don't have to quit what you're doing today. If you got a guaranteed check coming in, by all means, bank on that check, make decisions, financial decisions on that check. But at the same time, explore other ideas, explore other opportunities. And for the last several months, he's been going to these places that sell items, use items real cheap, like flea markets and Goodwill and those types of things. And he's just he knows a couple different niche markets, the toy market, the gaming market and things. And when he sees a deal, he'll buy it. For an instance, he bought a Nerf gun the other day for $1 at Goodwill, turned around and sold it for $25 on eBay. And so I told him, man, if you could repeat that about 5 or 6 times a day, you'll do all right as a teenage kid. So anyway, if you're not an entrepreneur and you listen to the show and you're sort of getting motivated, let me just explain. You can start a career today. You can start an idea today and not mess up your current activities. I would never advise anybody that if you're in a career path right now, you're in a job, go ahead and do what you do. And then in the evenings, there are so many work from home opportunities. There are so many different business ideas that you can engage in. Our agency advises and consults with people every day. I've got several people that we coach and mentor that are in construction, that are in various teaching jobs, but they want more income and they want to expand the horizon. And so we're showing them opportunities that they can do from home with a telephone and a computer. That's all they need. And they can earn, an extra $300-$400 a week even. And so they're out there. And if you need help, let us know, 800-673-1728. Be more than happy to show you some good ideas and ways. And I'm not talking about just, multi-level marketing, network marketing. In all transparency and honesty, I'm not a huge fan of those. I'm not speaking against them. If you're in one, please don't be offended. But I'm talking about real opportunities that aren't contingent upon you signing people up for your income. You're going to get paid for working and doing and growing. And so the opportunities are out there. But you just have to be wise about it. So this weekend, went to buy a car. Actually, we started, I guess it was last Thursday, we started this. And I put on my Facebook, just as a joke, if someone came to me and said, Terry, would you like to slide down a slide of razors into a pool of alcohol, or be tied to an alligator and put in a phone booth, or go deal with a car salesman on the weekend, a used car salesman, which would you rather? And the joke was, what was option number one and two again? And the reason that is because I just, these guys, not all of them, there are some great ones out there. I've met with them, got friends that are in the business. But a lot of them are just ill-trained, poorly trained, and don't understand the rapport building process, don't understand what it takes to leave the realm of just being a salesperson trying to sell something to being a trusted advisor that people will want to do business with and send you all of their friends, their family. You know, my whole adage has always been when I'm dealing with financial products, insurance, health insurance, Medicare, all the things that I do for a living, I want to do business in such a way that you will send your mother or you will send your daughter to me saying, could you take care of them? And know and trust that they're going to be taken care of. And, you know, you can't teach heart. You can't teach character. That's something that they've got to start with. And, you know, these dealerships that just will hire anyone off the street just for the promise of hustling and closing deals, they do their dealership a grave disservice. They really do. But what happened was my wife and I went this weekend to help my 16-year-old son pick out his first car. Man, what a nightmare. I may be more sensitive to this naturally because I'm in the sales profession and I teach it and I do coaching and I'm training. And I'm constantly amazed at how people run their business in this type of industry. I really am. And in particular, it seems not even to care about the long-term consequences of their reputation or even future business. So after going to multiple lots to find what admittedly would be a tough find, we ended up in a little town called Greer, South Carolina. There you will find a Kia dealership that is forever advertising on TV, sending out mailers on every medium in the upstate, TV, radio, newspaper, mail. So we decided, hey, let's drop in and just see if they have something used. We're not in, you know, particularly in the market for necessarily a Kia or even a used one, but maybe they'll have, you know, we were wanting to be in that $5,000 to $7,000 range. It's a new car, but I wanted something that would be reliable, gas efficient for my 16-year-old son. So we pull up and naturally here comes the salesperson. Now, keep in mind, we have been shopping all day. At this point, we've already dealt with 8 different dealerships, 8 different car salespeople. And so to be honest with you, I was sort of glad to see him come up. And so I tell him immediately, here's what we're looking for. Here's what we're willing to pay. And do you have anything within these parameters? Well, he invites us into the showroom. He sits us down at his cubicle and asks us to wait right there. And he will be back with what he has. So he comes back about 5 minutes later, and he is just smiling from ear to ear. Let me tell you, this guy is full of himself, and he's hamming it up. I mean, he's putting on a show. And the first thing he says is, tell me, who's the greatest salesman ever? You know, with a little bit of a cocky, assured attitude. And so I responded, you are, if you've got what we need and save us time here, because trust me, I'm thinking on the inside, I am ready to go and get this over with. So he takes us out to the side of the lot and shows us a car that looked sort of vaguely familiar. As soon as I saw it, I said, I have seen this car before. And we instantly do not like it. Let me tell you, he continues to tell us this is what we want, and I insist. But he continues to say, no, this is what you want. And I say, no, this isn't what we want. And he continues. But I'm able to finally, back him off even after he said, but I can get this to you for $7,000, which I think to myself, looking at it, the wheels look spray painted and it looks like a Rubik's Cube, you know, box type vehicle. It's a used Suzuki. I don't even know what model, but it's just terrible looking in my opinion, for my preference. And I'm looking at it thinking I wouldn't give $1,500 for it if it was on the side of a street somewhere being sold by an individual. So after insisting it was not for us, he finally relents and lets us go back to his desk and wait on him right there while he tries to find something else. But on the way back, I'm thinking, I have seen that car before. And it just dawned on me. There was a car when we pulled up that had a big old blowout sticker and cardboard signage on it that said, Manager Special, $39.99. And I think to myself, surely this guy did not sit us down in his office, pull that car around just to show us and tell us he can get it to us for $7,000 when it was out front for $39.99. So I told my wife and son, I said, just wait right here. I want to go out front and look for just a second, not telling them anything. And I go outside, and sure enough, where that car was sitting, there's a huge space. And on the pavement, on the asphalt, there is that signage just laying there. And I see him pulling the car back in. I'm telling you, my blood just started to boil. This is why salespeople have a horrible reputation. This guy was one step away, in my opinion, being political material. He could run for Congress, even president. And if he got even worse, maybe they'll put him on TV as a TV evangelist. But what a terrible experience. I would never shop at the Kia dealership in Greer again just because of that. And they might be a great dealer, but that experience right there turned me soured immediately. I won't recommend friends, family, clients, or anyone simply because of this experience. And we as salespeople, we as entrepreneurs, we as people that are growing our own business need to understand our client's experience is huge. You know, it costs so much to market, to advertise, to try to get in front of more people. I'm on this show forever talking about lead generation, talking about marketing ideas, talking about strategies to get you in front of more people. But the number one advice I can give to any business, any salesperson, any entrepreneur is to make your existing clients wildly excited about you and become raging fans. Because by doing so, there's a couple of things that work. Number one, you're just making people happy with your products, your goods and services, which is what you want to do anyway. Sometimes you can't. Listen, I've got people out there that I have bent over backwards, tried to give them the shirt off my back, done everything I can and still can't make them happy. It just wasn't a fit. My personality wasn't a fit. My products wasn't a fit. And when that happens, no harm, no foul. We did our best and it just didn't work out. But for the lion's share people, for the 85%, 90% of people I deal with, I want them to be raging fans. I want them to be so excited that they're willing to tell their friends and their family and everybody they come in contact with, hey, if you need financial planning, if you need health insurance, if you need retirement planning, if you need life insurance, if you need anything to do with business, you need to talk to Terry Wilson. That's what I want. And I strive for it. Doesn't mean I necessarily always hit it. But man, this experience right here has provoked me, compelled me to take time to write a blog and even talk about it in a podcast that goes out to thousands of people that will hear it perpetually for a long time. What a terrible reputation this one dealership is going to get simply because of that type of shenanigans. And so there were some lessons there that I pulled away, just some basic 101. Forget the integrity. I'm not even going to question someone's motive or integrity. I don't know what they were thinking. Don't want to even get into that. But there's three things I think that we can glean from this experience that I can learn, that it can be a learning experience, that the next time that I'm in front of a client and have an opportunity, I'm going to make sure this is in the forefront of my mind. You know, obviously the integrity thing goes without saying, but number one, I'm going to know my client. Know your client. You know, there's all different types of insurance products, financial products. There's all kinds of things out on the market that I can sell. But with all of that that can be sold, with all the potential things out there that I can offer, there's really only a handful of things I do. Why? Because the clients that I know, this is what they need. And the more I know my client, the more refined I can get down and narrow down, this is what that particular client needs. So if you know your client, you can then, number two, know your brand. That is, know the things that you have in your personal repertoire, in your portfolio, that's going to fit that client that you know. And number three, most importantly, know your potential. You're God created. You are deserving of much more than a mediocre life. And so by taking shortcuts, trying to just cut a fast deal, you have just killed yourself for future business. Know your potential. 90 degrees and freezing out here on my own. I can't shake this feeling.
You're listening to dsradio.net. If you have a question for Terry, call now. 800-673-1728. 800-673-1728.